Welcome back, everyone. We're diving into something pretty amazing today. The female body.
Should be a fascinating deep dive.
Absolutely. We're looking at this article from Lifestyle Hub 101. It's called The Amazing Female Body, A Closer Look. Published just yesterday, January 12th, 2025. We'll uncover some surprising facts and hopefully bust some myths along the way.
Hopefully some surprises in here.
I bet. So let's jump right in.
Well, you know how we always hear that women tend to live longer?
Yeah. For sure.
Well, in America, it's an average of 5 years longer than men.
Wow, 5 years. That's a pretty big difference. I always just kind of assumed it was healthier lifestyles or something.
Lifestyle definitely plays a part, but there's something else going on. Estrogen. It actually protects against cardiovascular disease, like a built-in shield for our hearts.
Oh, wow. So it's more than just a hormone for, you know, reproduction.
Much more. And this protection lasts until menopause. Then, when estrogen levels decline, we see that longevity gap shrink a bit later in life.
That's so interesting. So estrogen is like a guardian of female health, helping our hearts and adding years to our lives.
Exactly. It impacts almost every system in the body, not just reproduction.
Speaking of protection, this article also mentions that estrogen boosts immunity. It says women have stronger immune responses and recover faster from injuries.
That's right. It's like having an internal healing boost.
Wow. So how does that work?
Well, estrogen regulates our immune cells, making us more resilient against infections. It even helps us heal faster from wounds. Pretty amazing, huh?
Incredible. The article also says exercise can make that even stronger.
Exactly. It's like estrogen lays the groundwork and healthy habits amplify the effect.
Okay, so we've got longevity and immunity superpowers thanks to estrogen. Now let's talk about brains. This article highlights some really interesting differences between male and female brains, particularly in memory, emotional intelligence, and communication. Is there a biological basis for this, or is it just, you know, societal stereotypes?
Oh, there's definitely a biological basis for it. It all goes back to estrogen. It influences the growth of neural connections in areas of the brain associated with things like memory, language, and social skills.
So it's not just a stereotype that we're better at remembering details or expressing our feelings.
Not at all. Studies show that women tend to have a larger hippocampus, the part of the brain responsible for forming new memories. And we also tend to have greater activity in areas of the brain associated with emotional processing and language.
That makes so much sense. Now I know why I never forget a birthday.
It's not just memory, though. Women also tend to excel at multitasking and have strong social intelligence, skills that were essential for survival and raising children throughout human history.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
That makes sense. It's like our brains have been wired for connection and communication, which are still pretty valuable skills today in both our personal and professional lives.
Absolutely.
Now, I have to ask about something else the article mentions, menstrual cramps. It says they can actually interfere with cognitive performance. Is that true?
It is true, yeah. The hormonal shifts during our cycle that drop in estrogen before our period can temporarily impact some cognitive functions.
Like what kinds of functions?
Some women experience slight dips in spatial reasoning and problem solving. Even fine motor skills can be affected. It's thought to be because of the fluctuating hormones impacting neurotransmitters in the brain.
So it's not just feeling bloated and cranky. It actually affects our brain power.
Right, but it's usually subtle and temporary for most women.
It's incredible how much we are still learning about the female body and how hormones affect everything.
Oh, we've only scratched the surface.
Oh.
We haven't even gotten to the incredible sensory perceptions.
Oh, right. The article says women see a wider spectrum of colors, blink more frequently, and have stronger senses of smell and taste compared to men. Is there a scientific reason for this, or is this just another one of those things?
There are some theories. One of the most popular ones suggests that these enhanced senses are also linked to estrogen's influence on the sensory processing centers in the brain.
So it's not a coincidence that I'm the only one who can smell that burnt popcorn.
Nope. Studies show that women are especially sensitive to musk-like odors, which are thought to play a role in mate selection. And being able to see subtle differences in color would have been vital for, you know, things like identifying ripe fruit or spotting danger.
These sensory superpowers are amazing.
They enrich our lives today, and they certainly would have given women an advantage throughout history.
Definitely. Now, before we move on, I want to touch on the anatomical differences between men and women. The article mentions that women have a longer lower colon, thinner skin, and a differently structured spine. Why is that?
Those differences are mainly because of pregnancy and childbirth. The longer lower colon allows for more nutrient absorption, making sure a developing fetus gets enough nourishment.
So our bodies are designed to prioritize a baby's needs. That makes sense. What about the thinner skin?
Thinner skin is thought to be linked to increased sensitivity to touch, which would have been important for bonding with infants and noticing changes in their well-being.
It's like we're wired for nurturing from the structure of our skin. And what about the spine?
The female spine has a greater curvature in the lower back, which helps shift the center of gravity forward during pregnancy. That reduces strain and allows for better balance. Pretty cool, huh?
It's incredible. Every part of the female body, from our hormones to our bones, seems perfectly designed for creating and nurturing new life.
It is pretty remarkable. But of course, these unique features can also lead to things like digestive issues and back pain.
Right. It's important to remember that while our bodies are amazing, we're not invincible.
Exactly.
Okay, one more surprising fact from the article before we wrap up this part. It says, women process alcohol less efficiently than men. Is that true?
Yes, and there are a couple of reasons for that. First, women tend to have lower levels of the stomach enzyme that breaks down alcohol, meaning more enters the bloodstream.
So it's not just about body size or weight.
Right. And second, women generally have less water in their bodies compared to men, so alcohol is more concentrated in their blood.
Wow, I had no idea. It's definitely good to be mindful of how much we drink.
Absolutely.
Well, I think we've covered a lot of ground already. We've gone from the power of estrogen to the amazing female brain and the incredible adaptations that make pregnancy and childbirth possible. It's safe to say we've only just scratched the surface.
Definitely.
In part two, we're going to dive into the complexities of the female reproductive system and uncover even more fascinating facts about menstruation, sexual health, and those hormonal ups and downs.
Looking forward to it.
Welcome back to our deep dive into the amazing female body. In part one, we talked about estrogen, its impact on longevity, immunity, and even how our brains work. Now we're going deeper into the female reproductive system, which the article calls a symphony of hormones and biological processes. I'm really excited to learn more about how it all works.
It's truly remarkable.
The article mentions that women are born with all the eggs they'll ever have. That's always blown my mind. Can you explain that a little?
Sure. When a female fetus is developing, she actually produces millions of eggs. But by the time a baby girl is born, that number has dropped to about a million.
Wow, that's still a lot of eggs. But if we only release one egg per month, what happens to all the others?
Well, it's a natural process of, selection. Each month, a group of eggs starts to mature, but usually only one becomes dominant and is released during ovulation. The rest are reabsorbed by the body.
So it's like a competition to see which egg gets released each month?
You could say that.
And once an egg is released, how long does it have to meet up with a sperm?
An egg is only viable for about 12 to 24 hours after it's released from the ovary. During that time, it travels down the fallopian tube, and that's where it can potentially be fertilized.
Okay, and what about sperm? How long can they survive?
Sperm are surprisingly resilient. They can actually survive in the female reproductive tract for up to 5 days.
5 days. Wow, so that means fertilization can happen, even if intercourse happens a few days before ovulation? That's fascinating. It's like there's this tiny journey happening inside us every month. Now, if fertilization does happen, the fertilized egg implants in the uterus. The article calls the uterus a shape-shifting marvel. Can you tell us more about that?
Absolutely. The uterus is an amazing organ, perfectly designed to expand and accommodate a growing fetus. During pregnancy, it can stretch to over 500 times its original size.
That's mind-blowing. 500 times. What happens to all the other organs while that's happening?
Well, as the uterus grows, it gently pushes other organs aside to make room. This is what causes some of the common discomforts of pregnancy, like needing to pee all the time, heartburn, sometimes even shortness of breath.
It's amazing how our bodies just adapt like that. Speaking of amazing adaptations, let's talk about labor and childbirth. The article describes it as a symphony of hormonal signals and muscular contractions. Can you break down what happens during labor?
Of course. It all starts with a complex interplay of hormones. Oxytocin, which is often called the love hormone, actually stimulates powerful contractions of the uterine muscles.
I've heard those contractions can be pretty intense.
They can be, but the female body is incredibly strong. During labor, the cervix, which is the opening to the uterus, softens, thins out, and dilates to let the baby pass through.
It's amazing how much our bodies go through to bring new life into the world. Now, let's shift gears a little and talk about menstruation.
It's an important part of the female reproductive cycle.
The article mentions that menstruation involves shedding the uterine lining. Can you explain what that means?
Sure. So each month, the lining of the uterus thickens in preparation for a potential pregnancy. But if fertilization doesn't happen, that lining breaks down and is expelled from the body through the vagina. And that's what we call menstruation.
So the blood we see during our period is actually the shedding of the uterine lining.
Exactly.
That makes sense. There's this idea that women lose a lot of blood during their periods, but how much do we actually lose?
It's much less than people think. The average is only about 2 to 3 tablespoons over the entire period. Some women experience lighter or heavier flows, but it's usually not as dramatic as it seems.
Good to know. So how often do we usually have our periods, and how long do they typically last?
A typical cycle is about 28 days, but it can range from 21 to 35 days. And the actual bleeding usually lasts for about 3 to 7 days, but of course it varies for everyone.
And how many periods do we have in our lifetime?
The average woman will have around 450 periods in her lifetime. It's a pretty big part of their lives, so it's important to manage it comfortably and safely.
Absolutely. The article mentions women have used all sorts of methods to manage their periods throughout history. What are some of the more interesting ones you've come across?
It's fascinating to see how resourceful women have been. Historically, they used things like cloth, animal skins, grasses, even sea sponges. Some cultures used moss or papyrus.
Wow, that's incredible. And thankfully, we have many more options available today. We've talked about the development of eggs, ovulation, fertilization, pregnancy, childbirth, and even menstruation. It's really an incredible and complex system.
It is. The female body is truly remarkable.
Before we move on, what do you find most fascinating about the female reproductive system?
I think the most amazing thing is its ability to change and adapt. From the monthly cycle to the incredible transformations of pregnancy and childbirth, it's constantly changing. It's a dynamic and resilient system that's essential for our survival as a species.
That's a beautiful way to put it. In part 3, we're going to explore the hormonal fluctuations that affect us throughout our lives and dive into some fascinating aspects of female sexual health. Stay tuned for the final chapter of our deep dive into the amazing female body.
Welcome back to The Deep Dive. We're wrapping up our exploration of the amazing female body, and in this final part, we're going to take a closer look at, well, hormones. We've already learned so much about how estrogen affects things like longevity, immunity, even our brains, but I'm really curious to learn more about how hormones shape our experiences at different stages in our lives.
Through puberty to
menopause and beyond, you know.
It's fascinating, isn't it? Hormones really do orchestrate so much of what we experience throughout life, and it all starts with puberty.
Right. The article calls puberty a cascade of hormonal events. What's actually happening in the body during that time?
Well, it all starts in the brain with the hypothalamus. It signals the pituitary gland to release hormones that stimulate the ovaries. And that's when the ovaries start producing more estrogen and progesterone. So estrogen and progesterone are the key players in puberty. What kind of changes do they trigger?
Estrogen is responsible for most of the changes we associate with puberty, like breast development, body hair, and widening of the hips. Progesterone gets the uterus ready for menstruation.
It's amazing how those tiny hormones can have such a huge impact on our bodies. But puberty isn't just about physical changes, right? It's also a really emotional time.
Oh, absolutely. The hormonal shifts during puberty can definitely affect our moods and emotions. Estrogen, especially, influences neurotransmitters in the brain, like serotonin and dopamine, which are involved in regulating mood.
So those teenage mood swings are actually rooted in biology.
Exactly. It's not just all in your head. It's also a time of increased sensitivity. You know, girls may become more aware of their bodies and their emotions.
That makes sense. Now, speaking of emotional intensity, let's talk about another hormonal roller coaster, menstruation. We've already discussed what happens biologically during our period, but I'm curious about the hormones involved.
Well, the menstrual cycle is this complex dance between estrogen and progesterone. At the start of the cycle, estrogen rises, which thickens the lining of the uterus. Then there's a surge in luteinizing hormone, which triggers ovulation. After that, progesterone takes over to prepare the uterus for a possible pregnancy.
And if pregnancy doesn't happen,
then estrogen and progesterone levels drop. And that signals the uterus to shed its lining, which is what we experience as menstruation.
And those hormonal drops can cause some not-so-fun side effects, like cramps and mood swings, right?
Yes. That drop in estrogen and progesterone can lead to cramps, bloating, headaches, even fatigue and irritability.
All those PMS symptoms.
Exactly.
The article mentions there are ways to manage those symptoms, though.
Absolutely. Things like exercise, managing stress, and eating a balanced diet can really help. And in some cases, a doctor might recommend over-the-counter pain relief or even hormone therapy.
It's good to know there are options out there. Now, I want to talk about another big hormonal change. Menopause. What happens hormonally during this stage of life?
Menopause is essentially the end of a woman's reproductive years. It usually happens gradually between the ages of 45 and 55, though it can vary. The ovaries slowly stop producing estrogen and progesterone, and that causes a range of changes, both physically and emotionally.
I've heard menopause can cause some uncomfortable symptoms, like hot flashes.
Yes, hot flashes are very common. They're those sudden feelings of intense heat that can spread throughout the body, often accompanied by sweating and flushing. Night sweats are basically hot flashes that happen while you're sleeping.
That sounds rough. Are there any other common symptoms?
Some women also experience vaginal dryness, difficulty sleeping, changes in mood, and even problems concentrating, all related to that decline in estrogen.
So menopause is about more than just periods ending. It's a whole hormonal shift that can affect a woman's overall well-being. But I'm wondering, are there any positive aspects to menopause?
Absolutely. For many women, it's a time of liberation and freedom. They're no longer worried about getting pregnant, and some even feel a renewed sense of self and empowerment.
That's a great way to look at it. It's all about embracing the changes and enjoying each stage of life. Now, before we wrap up our deep dive, I want to circle back to something we touched on earlier, female sexual health.
Okay.
We've talked about the reproductive system, but I'm also curious about how hormones play a role in pleasure and intimacy.
Well, hormones definitely have a role in sexual desire and arousal. Estrogen is particularly important for vaginal lubrication and blood flow to the genitals.
So estrogen isn't just about having babies, it's also important for a healthy sex life. The article mentions that women can experience sexual desire throughout their lives, even after menopause, is that right?
Absolutely. Women's sexuality is a lifelong journey, and desire can change throughout different life stages. Menopause doesn't mean the end of pleasure. In fact, many women find they have a renewed sense of sexual freedom and confidence after menopause.
That's so great to hear. It's all about embracing our bodies at every age. Well, we've covered so much in this deep dive into the amazing female body. From the power of estrogen to the complexities of the reproductive system, it's been an incredible journey.
It really has.
We've explored the incredible strength and adaptability of the female body.
It's a truly remarkable system.
As we wrap up, we want to leave you with something to think about. With everything we've learned today about the female body, what does this tell us about the assumptions we often make about women's health and experiences? Thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive.
It's been a pleasure.
And remember, knowledge is power, especially when it comes to our own bodies. So keep learning, keep asking questions, and keep celebrating the amazing female body.